Believe we have the director of athletics from Idaho State University, Pauline Theros, joining us. Pauline, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you well, Neil. How about on your end?
You sound great, and we are live, so we want to welcome you to the program right now, and we appreciate you taking some time. A few days ago, I told Julie, I'm like, okay, this transfer portal stuff and the NIL and all of it is reaching kind of this fever pitch, and maybe it was in part due to March Madness, and we saw the news that so many athletes have entered the transfer portal, and I thought, let's reach out to Pauline because I'm sure she has a lot of thoughts on this. So we appreciate you taking some time and giving us your insight and maybe some of the challenges that you face as an athletic director for a Division I school, and maybe lay it out for us and what you're seeing on the near horizon here with all of this.
Well, it's really interesting. I don't think anything like this has happened in history to impact collegiate sports. We've been just in an unprecedented time, and I think it's been tough for mid-majors, like schools in the Big Sky, to react and make the kind of just huge investment that's required if you're going to be competitive in this rev share era. I've never felt particularly negatively about NIL or the opportunity to share revenue with student athletes. I think it's great. I think they earn it. I wish this had been in place when I was a student athlete. But the way that it's escalated and the huge amount of dollars that are being invested by the Power Four, that's just something that schools like Idaho State and even the best of the Big Sky schools are going to find hard to keep up with. So the frustration for us, and I think the fans, has been this roster churn. You get good players, you develop good players, you have just a little bit of success. If you have an all-conference player in this age or an MVP of the league, they are long gone. And, you know, those are challenges that I think the fans, administrators, just are finding it hard to understand and keep up with. So I like that this legislation, or this executive order anyway, is really going to try to limit that roster churn. I think that's what we welcome most.
I'm so glad that you said that, because I do think there needs to be some sort of intervention into this this issue that's been created. One of the concerns that I have seen several bring up is that you actually remove the student from the student athlete equation. When they bounce from school to school to school, they don't ever eventually finish an education, which we know most of them are not going to enter into the professional field. Do you agree with that? Is that what you're seeing as you watch these athletes move around?
Yeah, I would agree. I think that most of them finish. I mean, if they're not going pro in their sport, right? They're going to go pro in something else. Most of them are getting a degree because the NCAA does require progress toward degree. The problem is they're not getting the degree that they want, that they set out to get in the beginning, because with each move, fewer and fewer credits transfer. And in the end, and I have nothing against this in particular, but they're getting interdisciplinary studies degrees or university studies degrees or general studies degrees, and they aren't specializing in something they're passionate about, and you can't tell me that doesn't set you back in life.
Well, yeah, it's tough to go out and find a good paying job with a degree like that. Pauline, I wanted to ask you, if you could pull the levers and we had your solution to this problem, what would you like to see? What solution that would be fair, or at least somewhat fair to everyone involved, so that the mid-major coaches and athletic departments could rely on a fairly stable roster from year to year and make the situation more predictable and more acceptable to fans too? Because I think fans are frustrated when athletes leave after one good year.
Yeah, there's a few things, and I probably differ from some ADs on this, but I feel like it's incumbent on institutions to create great environments for their student athletes and places being a place where they want to stay and there are the reasonable opportunities available at their school that they can earn. So I'm not really big on limiting transfers in an arbitrary way. I really think the system that was in place whereby a student athlete could obtain a release to go to another institution and play. You know, I don't think it was really all that common for institutions to deny that. If a student needed to go closer to home because they were struggling or they had a way better opportunity and that was obvious to everyone, I don't think we're in this business to limit, you know, their opportunity to live out their dream. So that transfer penalty, I'm kind of, that's meh for me. I'm not huge on that. But I do think ensuring that NIL works like it was intended to work. It was intended to allow student athletes to use their talents and their brand to make money, to generate income. They had to work at it. They have business relationships. They deliver value to businesses and organizations that use their brand. It's like a job. I always say it should be called J-O-B, not NIL. What it became was just collectives making huge distributions for players who didn't do anything but go to the institution and play. So limiting that pay for play, requiring them to use their talents, use their brand to bring value to communities and businesses and companies, they have to work to make their brand valuable. Going somewhere, collecting $1 million check and doing nothing for it, we're certainly not teaching our student athletes what the real world is like. And that happens. They go places, don't pan out, and so they move to the next payday. At the highest levels, that's happening. And I think that creating that unrealistic expectation for our college students is causing a lot of them to jump into the portal. And when they don't get that kind of a payday, they are left without a degree or without a place to go. And we don't talk about, you don't see tweets about the situations, which are more often than not, that hurt the kids. I want to see the kids be placed in situations where they're set up for success. So I think bringing that back to where it was intended and teaching them skills that they're going to use in their lives in doing business or pursuing a career, that's what NIL was intended to do.
I would love to have your opinion on some of the changes that have been made that are kind of being thrust upon the NCAA. So we saw a news story a few months back of the private sector jumping in with the University of Utah to help cover this NIL money and them kind of making a joint venture. I sent Neil a news story last night about Wisconsin and them actually talking about bringing in taxpayer dollars to help with this NIL money. Just tell us what you think of those options, and is that polluting it even more?
Well, I think that anytime there are huge amounts of funding available and you're very, very motivated to spend it, you don't make the best decisions, right? I mean, I think that back to the beginning of time in recruiting, coaches and institutions have seen the players who could really make their roster special and drive winning, and they've been just, I mean, they're wired to be rabid about getting those students into their program, and they go to the limit. They do everything they can to recruit a student athlete in. When you're talking about having large, large sums of money, up to, you know, $22.5 million internally and even more externally to shower on a roster, I just think it leads to irresponsible decisions, and it's not a real market. In a real marketplace, that's not how it works, these huge commitments. And I think it will normalize, but right now it just seems like the world's gone crazy and they're spending at a pace that isn't sustainable, and that's just not good, especially in higher education.
We're talking with Pauline Theris. She is the director of athletics at Idaho State University. Pauline, this is an idea that I floated with Julie, and it may not even work at all. But I thought, what if the mid-major schools, these smaller Division I schools, were cut into the equation? For instance, let's say, you know, we know the story of Dylan Darling came to Idaho State, had a stellar year. He went on to play for St. John's, had a wonderful year and experience there in March Madness, and we were all happy for him. But what if part of the solution was that if a school is going to pay a player seven figures, I've heard in some cases, then the school that student is leaving from will also get a certain percentage. Like, they can't pay just the student. They also have to pay the athletic department of the school losing that athlete. Is that something that would sort of temper things? Because then that school would have some money to work with to also offer some name, image, likeness deals for students that they'd like to attract in.
Well, I think that's an interesting idea, and I can see that a lot of institutions would really like that, right? It's like a coach's buyout. So, and I think there's no reason really that you can't make contracts like that now. I mean, we could make a rev share contract with a student athlete, and we can put a buyout in it. We can do that. We're very free now in this new environment going forward to put things like that in contracts. The thing is, you have to get it, you know, you have to find a student athlete that's willing to sign it. And so long as other institutions are willing to say, hey, we don't have that restriction, you come here, we're not going to give you a buyout, then, you know, that's going to dictate whether or not those contracts are going to be widely accepted. Can the NCAA legislate that? I think it would be immediately challenged in court, and we're not seeing those kinds of things that limit the free market hold up. So I think it's a great idea. In theory, it's available to us now, but there hasn't been a lot of success getting recruits to accept contracts of that nature.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Well, I'm hopeful that this executive order does kind of stabilize things. I love basketball specifically, but it's a problem with football. It's a problem with other sports as well. And what do you think this looks like a year from now or 2 years from now?
Well, even, you know, with or without the executive order, I think that the powers that be are starting to figure this out. I think they're starting to make better decisions. If you look at it, you know, Idaho State is opting in the year ahead, and we've been able to enter very reasonable, appropriate rev share contracts that make our student athletes happy, that are responsible, we can afford them, they're sharing revenue at the appropriate level, and I'm hopeful that over time, the market's going to normalize. Things swing back. The pendulum comes back. I think this is not going to have a huge immediate competitive impact, but it's forcing a national reset conversation. It's getting everyone to think a little bit more reasonably, and it's attempting to create a federally mandated framework so that we all work under the same rules instead of state by state by state, because even in our conference, I mean, we have multiple states with different legislation. So I think a year from now, we're going to have rev share. I think we're going to maintain the student athlete mobility because I think it's helpful to institutions and students to have mobility when they don't have the right fit. That's a premise of the free market. But I think we're going to see more regulation that these deals that are made have to have a real legitimate business purpose, and they have to be executed at a market value. And that alone is going to solve a lot of problems, and I think that's where this is going to naturally go.
Yeah.
All right, Pauline, I wanted to give you a chance to just celebrate ISU athletics. So tell us the great things that are happening at ISU right now.
Well, we're very excited. In fact, our foray into the rev share world has been terrific. We had a great recruiting class for football. Cody Hawkins knocked it out of the park and really, really improved the roster of Idaho State football with the opportunity to go out and get some student athletes out of the portal. In addition to that, you know, we are at an all-time high. We're almost 40% of our students. Athletes on our rosters are from the state of Idaho. We love that. We celebrate that. We try to get that done, and they're performing extremely well. If you look at the football season ahead in 2026, Idaho State has seven home games in the dome. That hasn't happened in two decades, and going forward, we're really excited to be hosting a lot more fans and a lot more games here in the renovated ICCU Dome. So football is looking great. Spring game is tomorrow at 2 o'clock, in the ICCU dome. And I think we're on our way to competing for a conference championship this year in softball, repeating as champs. The softball team is doing great. We'll be hosting our Big Sky Championships here at Direct Communications Field starting on May 5th. And looking for a great performance, a repeat performance by that team. And in general, we're still putting shovels in the ground. We're working on building a new sports performance complex. We just finished a new track practice field. We're going to renovate our indoor track venue. It'll be brand new next season, so stay tuned for that. We're moving ahead full steam. We have more support than ever, and our teams are performing extremely well. And I'm just really proud of our mighty but lean department doing things the right way and scoring big right now. So we're pretty excited.
Well, there is a lot to celebrate. I'm excited. I guess I'll see you. Will you be at the spring game tomorrow, Pauline?
Absolutely. I'll be there, Neil.
Okay. I'll be up there, too. So you'll hear me. I don't know if you'll see me, but you'll hear me. So.
Hey, thanks for having me today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Pauline Theros, Athletic Director for Idaho State. We'll be back.